Financial feminism. I love this phrase. I love this phrase because I love alliteration, but I also love it because it puts a very sharp focus on one of the most intractable challenges in personal finance, gender inequality. My next guest says empowering women to invest their wealth in very particular ways will not only lead to a more equitable future, but a more sustainable one too. Jessica Robinson is the author of Financial Feminism, A Woman's Guide to Investing for a Sustainable Future. She joins us now to talk more about the book and how you can invest this way. She is in Dubai. Hello there.
Hi. Nice to be on the call.
We have talked about gender in investing on this show for a number of years. We've talked about the pay equity gap. We've talked about all of these things, and not to say that we could ever talk about them enough, but what you bring to the table is a unique perspective, and that is the intersection of gender, and as you call it, financial feminism, and sustainable investing. What happens at that intersection?
So as you said, absolutely, this discussion around gender pay gap, investing gap is really significant. But I do feel that we're almost missing a beat when we talk about financial feminism, which is around the equality of women and the financial equality of where they sit. I think it's really important that actually we extend this. So to me, financial feminism is really about women using their wealth to create the kind of world that they want to live in. It's about aligning those investment decisions we have with our values. And so it's not really just about women earning and investing on a par with men. To me, it really represents that opportunity for women to use their financial power to build and create positive change in the world.
You have worked in sustainable investing for a long time. What was the moment when you saw that you needed to talk about it differently?
So yes, I've been in sustainable finance, sustainable investing for a very long time. Makes me an old timer. And I was really struck by the number of women that would come up to me and talk around, wow, this is important. So I'd speak at a conference and they'd come up to me afterwards and say, what can I do in my personal financial situation, my investments as a retail investor? And so I started doing a lot of research and actually found some data which indicated that women genuinely are, they're motivated to think about impact and sustainability beyond purely financial returns. And to me, then it was like a light bulb. It was, okay, there is something in this. At the same time, you've got women earning and owning a much greater significant portion of that wealth. But also, many women feel completely disengaged with the financial industry. They simply feel they're not being served by financial advisors or their banks or their asset managers. So it was sort of everything coming together at once to really actually say, look, there's something in financial feminism that's not just about financial equality. It's actually about that opportunity for change for women to use their investment decisions for that change.
Your introduction reads differently than almost any other personal finance book I have ever read, and I've read them all. You say, at the end of this book, quote, I want to give you goosebumps when you think of how smart you can be. I love the line. I love the image. What did you mean by that?
I believe in the power of the sisterhood. And I think that sisterhood has to touch on every aspect of our lives. And I think that we talk quite often about women as consumers. We talk about women as being at the political table, company directors, but everything we do about our money and the investment choices we make is a lever of change. It's a vote for something that we want to do better. And I'm inspired by the amazing women around the world, but I do feel the financial and investment industry is so male dominated. I think we need to shake it up. I think we need to talk about the purpose of capital. I think we need to have deep philosophical conversations around the future that we want to build. And I think women are going to drive that conversation.
How literal do you take the phrase financial feminism in terms of specific investments in the broader realm of ESG that focus on women? So for example, I'm going to make one up. Microfinance in developing countries that focus on the matriarch. Is it that linear, or is it, no, we love a good wind farm. Wind farms are good.
No. It's not linear at all. It is saying to every woman who is making an investment decision, you have power over what you believe in. And if it's climate change, if it's sustainable fashion, if it's microfinance, you know, those are choices that you make, and you align your choices with your values and your priorities. So for me, as example, I'm an environmental economist. Every investment I want to do will not touch fossil fuels. That's my empowerment. That's my moment saying, I'm sorry, this is what I believe in. I want to get my money into clean tech, renewables. This is what I want to do. And I'm going to do it intelligently and consciously. So I think, you know, we sort of dumb it down when we talk about women wanting to think about microfinance or whatever. This is not what we're talking about. We're talking about transformational change in our capital markets, essentially.
Sustainable investing as a approach, even as an asset class, has been around for a fairly long period of time. And yet there are a lot of people who are still not quite sure what that is. Where would you recommend our listeners get started, or how should they get started?
You mean aside from my book?
Aside from your book, in addition to your book, and your book gives some great suggestions, right? Mutual funds, yeah. ETFs, angel investing.
I mean, there are so many opportunities out there. And the thing that's happened in the last couple of years is that we are now having mainstream discussions around ESG and sustainability. I mean, I've been in the field for many years and I've been knocking on doors and saying this matters. And finally, we have asset managers, banks coming and saying, yes, you're right. And we have regulators and governments, right? So the good thing is there's a lot of information out there now. So it's about being educated, about being empowered. I always recommend women, well, and men as well, that they focus on the key issues. They look at the research. They look at what the NGOs and the think tanks are doing. They look at regulatory frameworks. It's all out there. My biggest word of caution is around the greenwashing that I think is one of the potential risks that we have coming up. You know, now it seems to be the sort of the trend of the moment. We need to ensure, particularly as retail investors, as individuals, we need to ensure there's transparency and accountability in the market. So
Yes. Where is the line for you on greenwashing? Can you see it? Is it abundantly clear to you as a trained eye?
It's challenging. Thankfully, we're getting more data and we're getting a lot more technology supports that transparency, but it is challenging. I often recite a pension fund that I'm invested in, and one of the top, I'm in a green fund, and one of the top investments actually a large American investment bank that is a big financier of fossil fuel development in Southeast Asia. And I'm an expert at what I do, and I didn't realize I was invested in that. So I think we really need to talk about it more. We need to push financial advisors and the banks, the retail banks and the asset managers. And we need to support NGOs that are shining spotlights on what's actually going on. I do think it is a worry. The greenwashing issue is a worry. We're rushing to the market. Thankfully, it is improving with regulatory focus as well, though.
We have listeners who are women and have complete control over their finances because they're single or they're married to another woman or whatever. We also have listeners who, for whatever their life path has taken, they're married to men. And we know that there are so many things that can complicate those partnerships, gender being one of them. If you were to give one single piece of advice to a woman who was married to a man who saw the light, who felt the goosebumps and wanted to or needed to exert her voice or make her voice known in the very microcosm of that relationship, what would you say?
I would actually probably say, do your research. And this is not sustainable investing in ESG is not about philanthropy or charity. If you want to appeal to your partner, talk about risk and talk about opportunity. The very fact is we now are coming together on climate change. This is the most singular significant risk to our financial markets. So take that information and have an intelligent conversation around risk and opportunities. This is not a nice to have. This is a sensible way forward with your investment portfolio.
Jessica, thank you for your time today.
Thank you very much for having me on the show.
Jessica Robinson is the author of Financial Feminism, A Woman's Guide to Investing for a Sustainable Future. We just cracked the surface of it. There's just tons and tons of great insight in this book, including lots of primer insight on the world of investing, but through this through the sustainability and gender lens. So pick it up, find it.